that, but then we get to that part to the cross where thou hast died.
Yeah.
And, you know, in being drawn near to the cross, in the first place, we're reminded of what Christ did for us when he died for us. You know, that's, of course, very important. We worship the Lord, we praise the Lord for what he did for us. And, when we think about that and everything that he has done for us, it causes us to be thankful, and then all the situations that we're in seem so much better when we see what the Lord has done for us. But also being drawn to that cross of Christ, what we find when we get there is there's one there for us to carry. And that's the part that we don't like so much, or at least I don't. I mean, really. I mean, it sounds good. Like, when we're in here, it sounds good, doesn't it? Like, when I'm sitting in the pew and the preacher's preaching, he's like, take up that cross and follow me. I'm going, yeah, amen. And then I get out there and I'm like, man, it just don't look the same out here as it did when I was sitting on the church pew. You know, this flesh resists that. Yes. It's so difficult. And I'm sure I'm probably not the only one. If I am, I would appreciate if y'all would pray for me that I could get where y'all are. But I mean, really, it's a struggle in this flesh. It does not like to sacrifice.
Right.
This flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. And I think the pastor was mentioning that some on Sunday. You know, us dads, you know, sometimes we have a struggle getting it in our heads, you know, being a servant as a father. Yeah. Remember, you did mention that, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know how it is sometimes. You listen to enough preaching, and what happens is it starts to run together. Yeah. It's all good, but then you have trouble separating who said what.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all God's word, and it's all right if it come out of God's word. But that's the idea. We have to get in our minds, like, hey, man, this ain't about me.
Yeah.
This is about me being the leader of this family and doing what I got to do, you know, to do what God has called me to do. But that's all of us, isn't it? You know, so I appreciate these old songs and some hymn writers that knew what they were writing about. Obviously, we don't place it on the same level as Scripture by any means, but still yet we can see where they were writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, absolutely, and reminding us of these things. We've got to have those reminders, and I appreciate that so much about that sermon Sunday. You know, as a dad, I've got to have that constant reminder. I can see definitely where the Lord has brought me from. As the preacher always says, you know, back when me and Christina first got married, if I look at myself back then, or if I look myself at the dad that I was when Hannah was first born, I can see a lot of ground between where I am now and where I was. But man, there's still a lot ahead.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate those reminders of what we need to be pressing towards. So I appreciate our pastor and the messages that the Lord gives him. Appreciate the Lord letting us be here in this house this evening. Appreciate the good crowd on Wednesday night. I was telling Miss Edna, man, it just about looks like a Sunday morning in here. You know, so it's good. I appreciate the Lord bringing out this good number and helping some come back that have not been able to come recently because of various afflictions and stuff. Appreciate the Lord helping them.
Amen.
We appreciate you helping us continue to pray for Jubilee. She's been on an antibiotic. I think tomorrow's her last day, and she's still at least once a day, every day, she's had a fever. So. I don't know, we're starting to get the idea that maybe what she has is viral instead of bacterial, so that, I guess that antibiotic's not helping it. But just pray that she'd get over that, if you would. And I do think, Lord, that it's not any worse than what it is. She's got a little cough, but, you know, that's about it. So it could be a lot worse. Before we continue, who's got a request for prayer? Both of you. Amen. Always remember these. I do really want to thank the Lord, too. There was a situation Christina had to deal with today we were very concerned about. We were trying to just trust God with it. But I'll be honest, I wasn't 100% satisfied with her safety in this situation. And God just took care of it.
Amen.
He just took care of it. And we're very thankful. So just continue to pray that God would deal in the situation. But really, just... I don't know. Really, when I was praying about it, that's all I could pray is God just take care of it. Because to me, in my mind, the situation was so complicated. I knew I didn't have sense enough to know exactly what to ask for. Because I felt like anything I asked for was probably still not going to be quite right. So I just appreciate the Lord stepping in those situations. And he knows what needs to be done. Just really appreciate it. Who else has got a request this evening? Before we pray.
Okay.
Okay.
This is probably the heart, so she's being funds and have the surgery, and then have complicated the walk, a lot harder than that thing.
Okay.
That's the story.
Yes, amen. Amen, remember this.
I got a call from Diane, that's Texas, down the line. And she said that Texas in the hospital, and the night before, she came in her room, and she said she was breathing good. And so she took her, she said, I came to the living room, called the EMS, and they got lost her in them. And they took her off the hospital. And she said it wasn't very good, but she's having just heart failure. And they're not sure if they're going to care for you. I don't know, even if he would even realize, you know, some days you know, some days you don't know.
Yeah.
So, but it is for.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm so weak and dying because he's really hard on him, because he's not going to have anybody there.
Right, and so, I don't actually know their extended family, so you said Diane is their daughter.
That's her daughter-in-law, that's Rick's wife.
Oh, daughter-in-law, so Rick is their son, okay, okay. Okay, so he, okay, so he was the one that was there when we called Patsy the week after the storm, okay. Yeah, do remember them, and I was wondering about that too, how that was going to go with Bill, so we definitely need to pray about that, and pray that God would give them wisdom, and that's what, I don't know, maybe you told Christina, or somebody told Christina, and she texted me when she found out about Miss Patsy, so that's just kind of what I've been praying, that the Lord's will would be done. I don't have any concerns about Miss Patsy's soul, not even a little bit, but I do pray that if it's the Lord's will, that he'd heal her, but if not, that he'd give her grace and make it easy on her. So one thing about it, we all need to hear something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else is here? Yeah, right. I don't know why I can't keep that in my head, but yeah, Friday morning. Okay, so remember that, Karen Mace. I guess, is AD not feeling good this evening?
Yeah, he's just really cold, so he just wants to stay at home.
Oh, okay.
He freezes, so he just said, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
Yeah.
Just remember him. Remember my sister now. She has surgery tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, okay.
Right.
Amen. Remember this. Is Brenda not feeling good? I heard you say she's not here.
I'm not here.
Okay. Yeah, I remember Miss Brenda. She's been, well, it's been a battle for her too, hasn't it? What's it been? Probably close to a month now. She's been kind of in and out.
Yeah. She's getting old.
Oh.
I want to thank everyone who remembered me in the prayer. I've been out. My soul is gone, my heart's gone, so I thank God for what he's been for.
Amen.
Right before he fell again yesterday evening.
Hmm.
Yeah. It just so happened that Eddie Lee was there pressure washing my house.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't bad. I had called him this. I see something happened. I got up. He was between the outside door. One leg was on the porch and one leg was on the inside. And he couldn't get that bad leg inside the house.
Pray for Preacher Billy. I'm glad the Lord was watching out for him there. Make sure somebody was there for him.
Yeah.
Amen.
I had one drink too many.
That's right. You joke about that, but what I forget was either me or one of my sisters or something. It was a hot day and we chucked one of them straight down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We came back. That's bad on some upholstery in a car. Appreciate Brother Robert getting to be with us this evening. Continue to remember him in prayer. He was just telling me this evening that his surgeon has released him from follow-up visits. He no longer has to go back. So
amen.
Appreciate that. Just pray the Lord to help him and strengthen him in that.
I want to
thank God for saving me.
Amen.
Thank God for being good to me, for my family, for my wife and kids, for this church and everyone in this.
Amen.
I thank God for you, because I do. And thank God for being good to me. I don't deserve his goodness, but he's good to me.
Amen.
If you would have been Parker, he's had some more braces put in, he's real sore in his mouth.
Okay.
That's the one touch he helped him. And then Brother Greg.
Yes.
He's got on a test coming up. Just thank the Lord for answering prayers too.
Amen.
And just pray the Lord continue to be with him, help him. And then for my buddy Jay, him and his wife Brit, they come here for a while. They hadn't been here in a while, but his dad passed away. His dad had come here a few times as well.
Mm-hmm.
His house burnt down. We took up love off the board and all, come up to his room and all that.
Yeah.
But he passed away this morning, and just pray for that man. Lord, help him. Just give him comfort, peace. I believe the Lord is. I believe the Lord's work in it. Just pray that he continue to do so. And remember me. Just continue to pray for me, that I just mind the Lord, that God just give me discernment,
yes.
Give me wisdom, and watch over me to keep me out of harm's way from getting myself in trouble.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Continue to remember the nation of Israel, too.
Yeah.
They've had several different attacks recently, some terrorist attacks, and then some policemen have been killed, and different things over there. Really, right now, our government is putting not the right kind of pressure on them.
You know?
And everybody, it seems like, in the world is trying to get them to just give in when they have every right to do exactly what it is that they're doing. It's almost like people are refusing to see who attacked whom, you know, in this situation. That would have been like after 9/11, you know, UK and France and all these people saying, you don't need to be going attacking them terrorists. I mean, it's the exact same situation. So just pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for our leaders that God would change their hearts. And again, I know what the scripture says. Every nation is going to turn against Israel in the end. But I just pray that we will be the very last.
Amen.
And that, you know, as long as it's in God's plan, that the United States would back that nation. Because I really, really do believe that's part of what's been keeping the judgment of God so light upon our country.
Yeah.
Is with all the wickedness that's going on in this nation, yet the United States has up to this point stood with Israel.
Yeah.
And there's a blessing in God's word for those that would support the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
I love my country. I don't want to see those blessings leave. I know eventually it's going to happen. I know it will. But, you know, I'm not looking forward to it. And I don't desire to see. I mean, I desire to see the Lord come, but I don't desire that.
Yes.
I mean, I know you know what I mean. But just pray for our nation. Pray for this election coming. You know, just the pastor has said this. He said it several times. But we got to, you know, be diligent to execute the stewardship that we've been given. We have got to go vote. We've got to. Results are up to God.
Yeah.
You know, and we may not necessarily like who's on the ballot, but the reality is, in every one of those races, one of two are going to be elected, whether it's one that we like or whether it's one that we don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. That's the reality.
Yeah.
You know, so just really, I just want to encourage everybody to be faithful in that purpose in your heart, that if God does not providentially hinder you from doing that, that you would be on cast out.
You know, we vote early to start tomorrow. I'll just say this, remember this, you're not voting for a pastor.
That's right.
You're voting for a leader of a nation.
Yeah.
David was not qualified to be a pastor.
No.
But he was the greatest leader of any nation that there's ever been.
Yeah.
He was an adulterer.
Yeah.
He was a murderer and a fornicator.
Yeah.
He was a womanizer, but yet he was a great leader.
Yes.
He was a man after God's own heart. So remember that when you vote, we're voting for a leader.
Yeah. Amen, that's 100% true. He wasn't even a good dad.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, you know, if you look at it, if you look at his family, he wasn't even a good dad, but God made one more king out of him.
Yeah.
You know.
Y'all would continue to pray for Dad. He's had a good couple of days. I want to thank God for answering prayers.
Amen.
He's got an appointment coming up on the 22nd. Let's pray that they'll be able to get him out of that neck brace. I believe that's more of the cause of his falls than anything, is he can't look down.
Oh, yeah.
So just keep praying for him. The Lord work on it.
Amen. Amen. There it is.
Continue to pray for all the people affected by the hurricanes.
Yeah.
Young men and women. Because my mom, they're from, my stepdad's from up in Bakersville, Burnsville and all that. I heard that the pictures don't do the damage justice.
Yeah.
And they're still missing like 200 and something people they haven't accounted for.
I do remember that. I remember them going tomorrow too. I said, I'm glad you mentioned that because that was in my mind a minute ago and it slipped my mind. Remember everybody from the church that's going tomorrow that the Lord give him safe conveyance and he would use that stuff for his honor and glory. What did you want to say, Pastor?
I was thinking about that this morning. It's outside this morning, you know, it's cold.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, you know, and up there it's colder than it is here. And, you know, people, a lot of them ain't got, you know, staying in just makeshift shelters and things. And God, you know, rob the beach. Just pray to God, just keep you safe and continue to provide for you. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that's talked to me, you know, about the damage and all this up there, but I've also heard a lot about how, man, the churches and the Christians has really stepped up.
Amen.
And, you know, give aid and brought a lot of help to the Lord. I thank God for that.
Amen.
I thank God for, you know, just allowing the churches to be able to do something. You know, you look just around here, you know, at the damage that people around here receive, and, you know, it put them out. It cost them, but yet they're still able to give and willing to give, you know.
Yeah.
I just thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen.
I forgot to mention Tim Britton is having knee surgery Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he gets over that, we're going to have to take out like 6 or 7 inches from his colon. It's not cancer, but it's a huge polyp in there that we're going to have to do surgery to get it out. But just remember, Tim Sandra asked me if I would have to touch the knee for him through all these things.
Amen. Amen.
So the family's trying to split that up, so pray for that. And they don't go to church, so they're going to that also.
Yes, amen.
Brother Matthew, my wife's got two sisters in jail in the Burnsville area. And one of them lives down on Buddyport. That's about 20 miles down the Canyon River. And I'm not sure that they've ever got to her yet or not, because it's through the bridge and washed out on that main road down there. In fact, the whole road's gone. Came there with everything. And it's having a hard time getting to them.
Have y'all heard from them or nothing?
I haven't heard
from them. You said that's mysterious sisters?
Yes.
Okay, y'all please remember this. There's
one really for them that's on Possum Trot. Maybe that ain't shut down until it's closed off.
We tried to go up there yesterday, and they wouldn't let us go across Mary Mountain. That's the way down with us to go through the long way around. Came back home, but I'm in touch with Judy, my other sister, and she can't get a hold of my other sister. It's three big bridges that we watched on the internet, didn't we? Wiped them all out. You can see it on YouTube. It just took Cane River away. He's gone.
Hmm. You know, that makes me think about it. I've been trying to, I'm trying to take too much time with this, but I've been trying on and off to watch some preacher, Mike Backus, lessons that he does. He did a section through Revelation. Every once in a while at work, I'll have something I can do and actually listen to something and pay attention to it. Usually not, because usually I have to be focused on what I'm doing. But he just got to the part where that, you know, one of these big old earthquakes and talking about how the mountains rending and stuff. And, you know, he said in that lesson, he said, man, we don't think about a mountain as being something. You think about that being one of the strongest things in the world. You know, what's going to break a mountain? Yet this earthquake will break mountains.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I commented on his video, and he responded back. I was like, man, God just showed us that he can take down a mountain with a flood.
Yeah.
Never would have thought. Never. I mean, it's not even something that would have entered our minds. And as the whole sides of mountains washed off.
Yeah.
You know, and these floods. You know, it's just, I mean, you think you know. We don't realize we trust in stuff, but sometimes we do.
Yeah.
Man, if I was living in the mountains, I would have thought, man, I'd worry about the flood.
Yeah.
You know, worry about the flood in the mountains.
It's like I said the other Sunday, like out of Job 40, where he says, he that created it caused his sword to approach him to it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we don't even realize that we're thinking of it that way, but we are.
Yeah.
We're trusting in stuff and circumstances, mm-hmm. And man, the Lord shows us.
Yeah.
fractures on her arm, on the bone. But he gave her exercises to do, so I'm thinking that the bone didn't break completely.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted her to start the exercises today.
Okay.
So just pray for her. He said that she'd be in a lot of pain until about the end of the week.
Amen.
And she would start feeling better. But yes, she hit pretty hard.
Amen. Remember this.
If y'all would help me pray for my cousin Candy. Sorry, I'm fighting something. But my cousin Candy, if y'all would help me pray for her, she's lost, and I've tried witnessing to her. And she just, I don't reject what Jesus did.
Amen.
She says it's manipulation. It's the church trying to manipulate her to do better.
I wish that worked.
Yeah. Amen. Remember this. All right, that's all. I'll stop. Don't worry.
Wouldn't that be nice if we just didn't have to repent no more? We just done it all right the first time?
Would that be great?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be great, but no, we mess up.
Amen.
And we know the truth. Amen.
Amen.
I know the truth. I know what God's done for me. I know what he's doing for me. And I still mess up. I still sin.
Amen.
But praise God, I'm glad the blood was enough. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, I want to live every day as if it's my last. I want to try my hardest to serve God. I want to wake up and now every morning I'm going to pray the same things I have ever since the Lord saved me. And that's this. I'm going to say, Lord, I pray God you'd sanctify me, that you'd help me. Lord, that you'd guard my mind against thoughts I shouldn't have. Lord, that you'd guard my mouth against speech I shouldn't say. Lord, that you'd guard my hands and feet into mischief, against mischief that I won't get into. Lord, guard my heart against wanting things I shouldn't want.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I pray the same thing. Lord, forgive me for having thoughts I shouldn't have, for wanting things I shouldn't want, for doing things I shouldn't do, for saying things I shouldn't say.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But praise God, either which way at the end of the day, it's still the blood.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Right.
I'm going to give my best, but whenever I run out of my best, guess what? His best is good enough.
Amen.
I'm glad of that tonight.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful Savior we've got tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, he's talking about Israel, and I want to say this. I want you youngins to listen. I don't know where that we've got so confused about where a Christian should stand when it comes to the nation of Israel. We should support Israel.
Yes.
You should pray for Israel.
Yes.
If you should rally for the support of Israel.
Yes.
And if anything, you know, you should be cheering them on. If you see the Palestinians being destroyed and wiped out of that land, why?
Yes.
Because God commanded them to do that.
That's right.
That is the land that he gave his people. Amen. That is biblical.
Yeah.
And that's not being mean. That is being biblical. That is the land that he gave them.
Mm-hmm.
We should be cheering them on and praying for the success of Israel.
Yeah.
That's what we should be doing. Notice this. Preacher Matthew mentioned something that made me think of this. He says this, that the blood of the innocent cries out to him from the ground.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he says that his vengeance awaits and he will avenge the blood of the innocent. Amen.
Yeah.
I believe that he's holding on to his wrath against all the abortions and innocent killings that we have in this nation.
Yeah.
The Bible says that he holds judgment against those who have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yeah.
All the homosexuality and fornication and everything goes on in this nation. I believe that God is he's whetting his sword, so to speak.
Yeah.
And he's waiting. The Bible says that his vengeance is something stored up with him amongst his treasures. But the Bible says this. It says that he will not wait. It says this. It says that he will curse those that curse Israel.
Yeah, yeah.
He says if you hate Israel, if you turn your back on Israel, he says, he doesn't say I'm going to wait. He doesn't say I'm going to plan vengeance. He doesn't say I. He says I will curse you.
Yeah.
Every nation hates Israel. So that's how God feels about it. And that's the way we should feel about it. We should love and support them. Why? Because God tells us to.
Yes.
Because God tells us to.
Yes.
Amen. And I used to be that was a common thought amongst Americans.
Yeah.
Nowadays I'm seeing plenty of people, Christian people, conservative people, all kinds of people, that say that we shouldn't support Israel. I mean, that's becoming a very common ideology in America today, and we need to combat that.
Yes.
Sorry to get off on that, but I just thought it needed to be said.
Amen.
I got a lot of thoughts, but I won't say, but I'll preach it here in a minute. Miss Vivian, you share it, come sing to us. Amen. Appreciate you being willing to come and sing.
Yes.
And what a blessing it is that we have. I have some talented people in here that can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. You know, see, that's a good reason to be at church, be at the house of God. You know, even if you leave, say, well, the preacher, he just peed and fired on all eight cylinders, at least you get to hear some good singing. Amen. It's worth it for that alone. If our makes you want to worship, our make you want to praise.
Amen.
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 song on my heart all day. And I shared it with him, and we sing it tonight. We haven't sang it in a long time. It's "I Want to Stroll Over Heaven with You." And you know, I'd like to stroll over heaven with everybody in here.
Amen.
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 You know, I have a lot of loved ones that's gone on, and I know I'm going to see them.
Amen.
But I'd like to see all of you in heaven too.
Amen.
Spread the gospel. If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, and I could count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for a favor from Him beyond more of it. I'm sure He's tried it again and again. I want to stroll.
Places, both of them, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Matthew 13, just hold 25 there. Matthew 13, Jesus is here giving some of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And it says here, it says in verse number 3 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The sun fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, and but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Pray, God, we add your blessing in the reading of your word. God, that you be glorified. In the name of Jesus, be exalted tonight. It's in his holy name we beg. Amen. Amen. I'll take this jacket. I'm sorry, I'm hot. Amen. I want to preach tonight on faithfulness.
Yes.
But I want to talk to you, if you was there a couple of Wednesday nights ago at the revival meeting at Burns Memorial, Preacher Curtis was there, and Preacher Curtis Presbell, and he was preaching on the danger of being unfaithful. And I appreciated that, and that really helped me at the time. And this is what the Lord's given me. It is the cost of being unthankful. That's what I'm going to preach on. And he was using a different text. He was talking about Jacob and his wives, Rachel and Leah. And he was talking about how that, you know, Rachel, though she was beautiful, she was ungrateful. She was unthankful for all that God had done for her. And the dangers that was associated with that. And similarly, I want to talk about that tonight. But I want to start out in a different kind of way. I want us to understand something first of all here tonight, that just by this parable that he's given here, understand this, that he's not talking about people that lost their salvation. Amen?
Right.
Can we understand that tonight?
Yes.
He's talking about people who have heard the word, but they have made some sort of profession or something another, but they've never truly known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I will say this, when it comes to just being thankful, It's not just about whenever things is going good. Matter of fact, the one thing that I want to bring out tonight, and we're going to go there again in Matthew 25, is here in verse number 12 when he says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, neither that which he hath." And I want to talk about a little bit about the cost of being unthankful. Now, he talks about the sower went to sow, and he said some of that seed fell by the wayside. And then he goes on to tell us what this means, the fowls of the air. He says, it's Satan that comes and snatches it away. And he says this, I'm going to read it to you one more time. He says in verse number 19, he says, "Anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." He said, "But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and in all the joy receiveth." So we see that there could even be somebody who with joy, they'll take the word of God, they'll even act upon the word of God, they'll make a profession, and they might even shout about what the Lord has done. It says that with joy they receive it. But notice what it says about them that where it fell upon the stony ground. It says, "But he hath not rooted himself and endureth for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended." And so the seed did not produce any fruit. Amen?
Yeah.
It withered away. It says, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." And so he's talking about the seeds that become unfruitful. What did the Lord say that a tree that is unfruitful is good for? Nothing but to be honed down and cast into the fire. That's what he says about a tree that is unfruitful, meaning that it bears no fruit, meaning that it produces nothing. See, when he plants seed on good ground, a ground that is plowed, a ground that's been tilled, a ground that is open to receiving what is being planted there, amen? And something can grow, and it can begin to produce fruit, amen? And so whenever we talk about fruit, and we talk about the gospel, and we talk about the relationship of the gospel, doing something in the individual that has been saved by the grace of God, then it ought to produce fruit, amen? Matter of fact, Jesus says this. He says in Matthew chapter 7, "You shall know them by their fruits."
Yeah.
You don't know them by the names on the church directory. Yeah. He says you don't know them by the hairstyles they have or the cars they drive.
Yeah.
He said you know them by their fruits. He said a good tree bears good fruit, amen. Yeah. And a corrupt tree bears evil fruit. He says a good tree does not bear evil fruit. And a corrupt tree does not bear good fruit. Therefore, by your fruits you shall know them.
Amen.
Amen. And this is what I want to say tonight, is that we ought to, first of all, examine our lives, and we ought to ask ourselves, is my life producing fruit for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I would say this, and I would tell you this, and I'll be honest, that my life is not always producing the amount of fruit that I'd like for it to. Okay? So I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. If God convicts you of sin, tells you you didn't be saved, it ain't going to hurt you to be on this altar. You can come right now, you can wait till later, it don't matter. Just come ask God to save you if that's what you need to do. But the point I'm trying to make tonight is this, is that the Christian ought to have a burden to produce fruit in their life, amen.
Yeah.
There needs to be a burden in my life to produce fruit, amen. Meaning to do things and to say things that would cause others to want to serve Jesus.
Yeah.
That's producing fruit, amen. And so what causes me to do that is this, thankfulness.
Yeah.
Thankfulness.
Right.
That is what produces fruit, is thankfulness. I'm going to tell you what causes you to be unfruitful is unthankfulness.
Yeah.
Notice what happened. First of all, the one that fell by the wayside, it said he didn't understand. It said before he could even grasp it, the enemy came and snatched it away. And so more deception. It said, but these other two, they understood. First of all, there was one that said he received it with joy. But when the persecutions and the trials came, it said that he was offended. You know why? It's because when there were hard times hit, he was no longer thankful for what God had done. The thankfulness did not stick.
Yep.
Amen?
Yeah.
Again, it says them that fell among the thorns. It said that the cares of this world grew up around it and choked it out of him. And so what was it? He was not grateful for what he had, but he wanted more.
Yeah.
And so he was unfruitful. And there's a cost to being unfruitful. There's a cost to being unfaithful. That's why he says here, I said this, I'm going to get back to it. Verse number 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. You see, whenever how much water is in the bottle? I say it's a third full, you might say it's two-thirds empty. Good illustration, right? Now I can say it's two-thirds empty, but what I'm seeing is what I don't have.
Yeah.
But I'd rather say it's a third full, because I like to look at what I got.
Yeah.
You know why? Because when it's a third full, I'm grateful to have a third of that water bottle left.
Yeah, amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah.
Amen? So whenever I've got a third full of water, then guess what? That water is so precious to me.
Yeah.
And I will enjoy every sip.
Yeah.
It's good cold water. Can you see that from down there?
Yeah.
You see how it's all followed up? I love good cold clean water. I like Aquafina. I ain't going to get on this rabbit hole. But this is like Chevrolet water. I want to say this. For those of you that do go and tell everybody the preacher what fire on all these cylinders, if it gets back to me, I'm going to say, well, that's probably the way they like it. They all drive Fords. But it's about perspective.
Amen.
I can look at this water, and I can be thankful, and guess what? That water, there's so much there for me. Or I can look at it, and I can say, well, I didn't got much water left. Guess what happens then? I can't even enjoy what water's there.
Right. Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can begin to say, well, I wish my husband, I wish my wife would do this, I wish my kids would do this, I wish my job would do this, I wish, and I wish, and I wish. And you know what? The things that God blessed you with that's right in front of you ain't as meaningful as they ought to be in your life. They ain't blessing you the way that they ought to be. You can say, why did God let me go through this? Why did God let me go through that? My question is, why ain't God let you have your house washed away? Why ain't God let you go down into the mires of sin and get out into the world? Why ain't God let you get sick and be dying in a hospital bed somewhere?
Amen.
Hey, I want to tell you, that's what I deserve. That's what we all deserve if we're honest with ourselves tonight. Hey, it's by the mercy and the grace of God that we're even able to be here at the house of God tonight. And we ought to have faithfulness in our heart. Whenever we get to count them blessings, guess what? There's more that's added to it. Hey, because we're thankful God's going to do more things for us.
Right.
But it's just a matter that if we can see what God's done, amen, then our joy is full.
Yes.
Our joy is full.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to get to a place to where that I'm basing my joy on my own circumstances.
Yes.
I do that sometimes.
Yep.
I start to get there.
Yep.
Thank God you don't let me stay there. Thank God you don't let me stay there. That's a miserable place to be.
Yeah.
You know why? Because them circumstances always are changing.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
God, lay you like this, like being on a roller coaster. You feel good one day, you can be glad for that. The next day you feel bad. Hey, you can have a little extra money one day, and then there's a shotgun comes up for sale. Or something like that, you know, you're broke again. One day you can be feeling great up on the mountain spiritually, and you're just, you know, having a good time, and the next day you feel like you don't even want to show your face to the house of God, you don't even want to pray, or nothing else, you feel like such a failure, you feel like you're just ashamed of yourself. Hey, I want to tell you this, though, I'm glad of this, my circumstances changed, but the Lord remains the same. He's a good foundation. Hey, my faith is founded on what Jesus done on Calvary's cross. It ain't founded on nothing else. Hey, I know this, that one day I'm going to leave this that I can be born again. That's where my joy is founded. That's where my joy is based. The Lord said, I came that you might have joy and have it more abundantly.
Amen. We must be thankful. Matthew, in chapter number 25, he says this again, beginning in verse number 14. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made him other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained another 2. He that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. You've heard me and every other preacher say this next verse. This is where it comes from this story right here. He said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And God bless that man because he made money. Come on. No. Amen. We understand this much, right? Don't tell me y'all been watching TVN behind my back. Come on now. Amen. It wasn't because he made money. He's teaching a lesson here, right? We're getting there. We're getting somewhere. He says this. He says in verse number 22, he also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well, he wasn't as proud of him as he was on 5 talents, was he? Yeah, he was. You know why? Because he said the exact same thing. He didn't leave nothing out. So guess what? It wasn't about who had the most. It was about their faithfulness.
Amen.
To commit to the work.
Amen.
He says this in verse number 20. It says, I'm sorry, verse number 21. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 23 says, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. It says, and then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. From him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I guess what? That's not purgatory. He's talking about the lake of fire. He's talking about a place called hell. That means this man was not saved. It means that he was given a gift from a master, and he did not use it. Said he was unprofitable. In other words, the Bible used to say that as unfruitful. He was unfruitful. He bared no fruit. So it was taken from him that which he was given. Now, mind you, he was never saved. He wasn't losing his salvation. Okay? Yes. Something the Lord does, guess what? You can't undo. Amen. Because he is the Lord.
Yes.
That's why I had to, before I even got to this point, I had to explain the sowers. So you see how the seed did not fall on the ground, amen? And he's using this same context here because he says the same phraseology. He says to him that hath, more should be given. To him that hath not, it's taken away. Even that which you have. He said, well, preacher, how does this relate to thankfulness? Because these other two servants, notice what he said. He said, you knew. The servant told him, he said, I know that you're someone who reaps where you do not sow, and you gather where you have not set straw. Now, again, in another place, over in the book of Luke, in chapter number 20, the Bible says it this way. It says, Luke 19, it says it this way. He says, in verse 22, telling this same story, he says, and he said to him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. And so we see that he says, I'll judge you out of your own mouth. And he says, this is the reason. See, these other fellows, they took what he had given. They wasn't afraid to go and put it to work for the Lord. Amen. With whatever they had, whether it was their physical money, or whether it was their time, or whether it was their energy, whether it was their talents, whatever it was, they said, we'll give it all to God. You ever heard that story in the Old Testament where they cast the bread upon the water? You know what I'm talking about? In many days it returned to you. I think it's in Proverbs. You want to talk about? That's talking about the same thing. It's talking about whatever you've got. If you're willing to give it to God, because guess what? It ain't yours. It's the same thing here that he's talking about. He said that the master had to give it to him. He said, we put it to work, God. Look what we've done. We've doubled it. He ain't talking about starting an investment account. Amen. He's talking about growing the kingdom of God. He's talking about laboring for the Lord, being fruitful in the Lord. He said, hey, everything that you've got, that God gives to you, everything that you've got, he's done for you. Everything that's yours, hey, whenever you take it and you hide it somewhere and you want to put it back and you want to hold on to it, that's what was wrong with that servant. He said, you know what? He said, I knew that you could reap where you sowed not. So you know what he's saying, basically? He said, you didn't need what I had. I went and I kept it. And I hid it, and I held on to it, because I know that you'll reap where you sow not. And so you know what? I knew that somebody would be profiting on for you. I knew the man with 5 talents was going to make 5 more, because I know you're a God that can do that. Hey, there ain't nobody here tonight that don't know that God's able to take everything that you and I got and to multiply. And if we give our time, if we give our energy, we know that God will use that. We know that God will bless that. They have a doubt in our minds tonight. You say, I ain't got enough time. Hey, you just say that because you want to hold on to what time you got. You say, I ain't got enough money. It's because you want to hold on to what money you got. You say, I ain't got the energy. It's because you want to hold on to whatever it is that you got. That in a selfish way, to use it all for yourself. That's what that servant done. And he was unprofitable. He was unfruitful because he held on to it even though he knew that the Lord was able to multiply that. If you just give, if you just put that effort in, you just take what God's give you and put that to work, God will bless that in places that you didn't think he would, that you wouldn't, mean you couldn't do that. Miss Ashley's talking about going and witnessing there to her cousin. You just keep on plowing ground. One of these days that ground will be ready to receive seed. Amen. Just keep on plowing that ground. One day it'll be ready to receive seed. Just keep throwing the seed. It's hitting the wayside. It's hitting the stony ground. It's hitting the briars and thorns. That ain't your fault, honey. You just keep on plowing ground. One day it's going to fall on good ground. Amen? That's the way it goes for every one of us. You got somebody you're witnessing to, just keep on. Amen. Just keep on praying for them. I got people I've witnessed to for years. I'm still witnessing to them. You know what? I get discouraged. I try not to, but you know what? I know this. I've seen God do big enough things, and I know that he's able to. and I'm just going to keep on putting the time in. I'm going to keep on praying for them. I'm going to do whatever I can. And I know this one day, y'all will cause that to fall on good ground. Amen.
Amen.
People witnessed to me. I was probably one of them lost causes. But I'm glad that there's people that didn't quit praying for me.
Amen.
There's people that didn't quit witnessing to me and telling me the truth.
Amen.
Saying, why don't you go to church? There's people that didn't mind telling me the truth. My little buddy Carl Bishop. You remember Carl Bishop? He used to tell me the truth. Bless his heart. He'd say, son, you need to be born again. I'd say, Carl, I'm saved. I've been saved. I got saved when I was young. He'd say, son, you lying to yourself. He said, you lied to me. He said, you can lie to everybody you want to. He said, don't lie to yourself. He said, if you were saved, you wouldn't live the way you do. You wouldn't talk the way you talk. I'd get mad at him. I would talk to him. I would. And then I'd get over it. You know, and I'd come back around. I was going out. I was having a big time every weekend. I wouldn't brag about it, you know. And then he just called me right back out for it. It'd make me so mad. You know? But he is good enough to tell me the truth.
Amen.
You know, you think when you lost somebody like that, if you told them, I got saved, you know, you expect them to sort of say, I told you so. That ain't the way it goes.
Right.
I got saved. That man just cried. He just cried. And he held on to me and he said, I'm so thankful, son. Amen. He said, I was praying for you. He said, I'm so thankful. That's where I want to be. I just don't want to give up.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know why? Because I'm thankful for what God's done for me.
Amen.
I know that He's able to do it. Hey, you know what? I run low on energy. I know God will give me more. Amen. I've said this, and I've put it to practice before. Hey, I've given more than I can afford. You know what? God's given it back to me. Amen. Yeah. He ain't never left me be without. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you this. I've said I ain't got time before, and I've seen God make time. Amen. I try not to say I don't have time anymore, because sometimes God will do things to give you time you didn't want Him to do to give you time. But God will make all things possible.
Amen.
You know what I want to be? Where I want to stay, just thankful to be able to serve Him.
Amen.
I'd like to go kill big deer. That joy don't last.
Yeah.
It's fun, but it don't last. I'd like to go catch a Lake Norman record largemouth bass, about 18 and a half pound. That joy wouldn't last. For me, I don't even think I'd have that much joy. That'd be wanting to do an interview and try to put my name in some kind of magazine. It'd become bothering me. I'd be ill about it. But I know this. The joy I get from serving God, it sustains.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't know why everything else just always seems like it's more important. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I tend to want to put it off so much. Whenever I know, just like that servant did, that God will bless it, God will multiply it, that God will make it grow.
Yeah.
And then whenever I've got more of that, He just keeps a growing it. But whenever I don't have the time for Him, He says, I'll take a little time to God. Mm. I can't afford that, God. He says, I'll take away what you can afford. I said, Lord, I just ain't got the energy for that, or I ain't got, you know, how you got every excuse in the book. He'll just keep taking. You know why? Because He wants our joy to be full.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that happens is to be in His service and be fruitful.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Are you thankful enough tonight to come to altar and say, God, You've done so much for me, and I just want to serve You better. I just want to take what I've got and give it to You, God. Everything that's in my life, Lord, You have provided. And I just want to be used for You and to grow in Your kingdom. Big old good God tonight. He loves me. close to paying back all he's done for me. I've got so much room in my life to give more to God. As I pray tonight, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Father, Lord, I thank you. I just want to thank you so much for loving me, God. I want to thank you for being holy. Oh, God, I want to thank you for being just and for being righteous, God, for being that standard, God. And Lord, I do not live up to that, so I thank you more than anything for your love and your mercy and your grace that you saved me with when you shed your blood on Calvary. God, I thank you for working in my life and calling me into your family. I don't understand, Lord. I don't even understand the kind of love you must have that you could love a sinner like me, knowing all my failures. But I thank you for loving me anyway. And I thank you for giving me all the blessings you give me. I thank you for allowing me to be in the ministry. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be able to preach, to be able to go witness to somebody. I thank you for allowing me to understand and read your word, God. Lord, I thank you for my wife. Oh, God, I thank you for my family. I thank you, Lord, for this church, everyone in it. Lord, I don't deserve any of this. I don't even understand why you continue to bless me. But God, you are so good. I don't deserve any of it, but I just want to tell you thank you. I just want to praise you. Lord, I don't praise you enough. I don't thank you enough. I don't give enough glory to your name, Father. Lord, I always seek to just hold on to something all the time. Lord, I just want to give it all to you, God. Lord, you're worthy of more than I could give. Lord, everything that I have, everything that I am, because of you, Lord, there's nothing good in my life, Lord, that you haven't made happen, Lord. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for these people, this altar, Lord. And I thank you for everyone tonight, Lord, that you spoke to. I pray that you continue to help us and grow us, Father. I pray, God, to continue, Lord, to work with my heart. God, help me to be the Christian I ought to be. Lord, I pray, God, for everyone that's here tonight, God, that you continue to speak to their heart and grow the Lord. Move upon their hearts, God, with mighty conviction, God, to help us in these last days to be looking for your return, Father. Help us in these last days, God, to be like those ones, those virgins, God, that had brought the extra oil to keep their lamps lit. Lord, let us just give all that we have to be prepared, to even be making plans now, God, to be ready. Lord, that we would just be thankful, just know you, and know that no matter how bad it gets down here, God, that this is the worst we'll ever know. Let us be thankful, God, for what you've done on Calvary. Oh, God, that our joy might be full. Lord, that it might be abundant, Lord. That means running over, like the psalmist David said, my cup runneth over. I thank you, Lord Jesus. And help us to have a heart full of thankfulness no matter what we go through. You've said to give thanks in everything. Give thanks in trials and tribulations and sorrow. Lord, sometimes it's hard to do. God, I pray that you'd remind me and remind us all, God, of what you've done and what you're doing for us, that we would be able to give praise to your name, for you're so worthy. It's in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen.
I say this, and if we, I mentioned that Jake's father passed away. His name is Terry Mostelli this morning, and he'd asked if they could have the funeral, receive the funeral here at the church. And I told him that we're his family. You know, they hadn't been here in a while, but I wanted to understand and know that no matter if you ain't here, we're still here for you.
Yeah.
And so the receiving's gonna be Monday at 2, and funeral's gonna be at 3. And if any of you is off work or able to come, just come by. Just tell them to pray for them. I know you don't know them or anything else, but you know, it's somebody, they went here for some time.
Yeah.
and I'd like to see him get back.
Yeah, amen.
You know, his just the other day, he's over at the house, and Camry told him, said, Jake, I want you to come back to church. He said, when you gonna come back to church? He never said a word. He told me today, he said, you know, I remember your little girl say that the other day, and he's just crying. He said, I need to get back.
Yes.
And I've been praying that he would, for him and his wife, so y'all just pray for him. Just come by, and if you're able, you know, don't take off work or nothing like that. I know you didn't know him or nothing like that, but if y'all are able, just come by. The receiving will be 2 o'clock, and the funeral will be at 3. You know, you just come and say, you know, I go to church here, and just let you know, pray for you. I think that means a lot to him and his family right now. Be grateful.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen. Y'all are out there. We couldn't y'all up to plowing ground. Amen. I got a lot of plows. That's what it takes. Now I want y'all to know something. I can preach to you. I can study my little heart out and pray like I ain't never prayed before and just be filled with the Holy Ghost. I can preach, but it ain't going to do a bit of good if you don't listen. I'm going to tell you, when God grows you, when God's doing things for your family, and God's doing things, you know why? It's not because of me. It's because of the goodness of God and your obedience. Your obedience. You just follow God and follow His Word, and God will bless you. I can promise you that.
Amen.
You never fail. Follow God and follow His Word. God bless you. I was talking about that seed, you know. You preach and you sow a lot of seed. And, you know, a lot of times the reason any of y'all is here, that's here right now, you're probably saved because you've heard the preaching of the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says. How can we hear without a preacher, right? But understand this, they ain't not one of you. They would have the ground to receive the seed had somebody not plowed.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why I told her to keep on plowing. And that's what I want y'all to do, just keep on plowing. Amen. Amen. Somebody was plowing on you, and they broke through the good ground. You just keep on plowing. These last days, the ground was getting tougher. Amen. And it seems like that, it's not as good, it's harder to find good soil. That's why you need to keep your plow sharp. You need to keep your mule strong. Be able to dig deep. Amen. And get that good ground. But y'all pray for me, I'll pray for you. Does anybody have anything you want to borrow or dismiss? Amen. I appreciate and love every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Preacher Billy, would you just miss us in a word of prayer?
Father, we are grateful, you know, Lord, to be in your house. And thank you, Lord, for the invitation we heard tonight, Lord. Challenged our heart, help us, Lord, that we might be more faithful. Help us, Lord, that we might live a life, Lord, that bring glory and honor and praise to your name, Lord. I pray, God, that you give glory and honor and praise out of every service that we come here to meet, Lord. I pray, God, that you just bless our pastor, Lord, his wife and children. Help them, Lord, touch them and strength. Pray for now all that need finds me to pray for tonight, Lord. Would you just bless this church? May the attendance stay up, Lord, and just bless every precious soul that's gathered here tonight. Bless those, Lord, that's not able to be here. Touch the sick and help them, Lord, that they might be healed, Lord. I pray most of all for that lost soul that's nearest to them, Lord, that you would save them for Jesus' sake. Lord, we pray for our grandchildren, Lord. I pray, God, that you speak to their hearts, Lord, and help them realize, Lord, that they need to be saved before it's too late. Now, Father, just help each one of us. Would you lead, guide, direct us, watch over us, take care of us, and protect us? We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.